Good morning. Welcome. A couple announcements this morning. We're at Bethany today at 2 p.m. Men's Bible study at Tom's Wednesday 7:30. Friday Bible study here at the church 7 o'clock, and Sunday school and adult Bible study 10 a.m. next Sunday, and then worship service at 11. Any other announcements? Are there any prayer requests? Okay, so Ryan will read the psalm today, and Tom will do the prayer and bring us the message. We'll begin.
Thank you. Psalm 32, the joy of forgiveness. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, through my groaning all the day long. For the day and the night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you, in a time when you may not be found, surely in the flood of great waters. They shall come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he whose trust in the Lord, mercy shall shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
Thank you. Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you this morning with a prayer to a people that have had a catastrophe happen, earthquake in Myanmar that affected Bangkok, and we ask that you would be with those people as they suffer through a devastation of mass destruction and a question probably in their hearts of why. And only you can answer those questions. Please, Father, reach out to them and comfort them and acknowledge them as they are going through this time where they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. And they've lost many things. Guide their direction and their path. Give them an understanding to look to you for all catastrophes, for all disasters, and for all relief. For your word is the breath of life, and your wisdom is the understanding and the knowledge of the holy. Give them this on this day. Father, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the gifts of the members of this congregation, the bride in Christ. We thank you for the elderly in the church, the mid-aged, the youth, the children. We thank you for the liveliness of new life. We thank you for the pains of being elderly, for moments of maybe being to slow down a little bit, even though we think our mind says that we can't, we can still do the things we did when we were 20. And we can't. Give us the ability to ponder you and where you have us in life. Give us the ability to reach to you in a way that produces fruit. Give us the ability to pray so that it can be received with love and understanding. Give us the ability to beckon and to ask for all that we need. And at the same time, give us the portion that is necessary for us, not too much, so that we look in vain, but just enough so that we are thankful, humble, and at peace with what we have. Give us contentment in our hearts, where we're at in life, because we know you are the author and finisher, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. You are the one that directs our lives through that Holy Spirit. Give us the ability to pray a righteous prayer, a prayer that you hear and you answer, a prayer that opens our heart not necessarily to just our needs, but to the needs of others. Not necessarily to our struggles, but to the struggles of others. For we celebrate as a bride the celebrations of everyone, and we mourn with the ones that mourn. Give us the strength as the bride of Christ, as individuals, to help one another grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ through the Word. Give us the ability to evangelize the gospel, the good news, especially in this season, that Jesus came, he paid for our sins, he reconciled us to God, he justified us through the cross, he imputed righteousness unto us through his resurrection. We thank you for all this, Father. We We thank you for this church. We thank you for the individuals in this church. Help us shepherd them according to the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Help us help them through your Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you that you taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue with 111. May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be granted unto you this morning, this hour of worship, through that indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen. If we can take our Bibles to chapter 2 of, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 10 to 21, we'll read it in Jesus' name. That's 2 Corinthians 5, 10 to 21. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest or known unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead. and that he died for all, that they which live should live not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no men after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. In the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, this title is Paul is Never Discouraged. And in the fifth chapter, verses 1 to 11, it's faith guides our lives. And then from 12 to 21, it says Christ's love guides us. So we'll read here. And by prayer and supplication, we'll try to understand this passage, and through that Spirit, we can hopefully present it in a way that gives glory to God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath, whether it be good or bad. This includes Christ. Christ was 100% man. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it kind of shows what God allowed Christ to go through, which basically should have been us going through it, but by his grace and love, he bruised him. So if we look at 53, verses 10 to 12 of Isaiah, if I can find it here. The sacrifice of the righteous servant, Jesus Christ. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Bruise him, meaning Christ. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall see the bride of Christ. He shall see the called of Christ. He shall see the sons and daughters of Christ. He shall see the brothers and sisters in Christ. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. You notice it doesn't say all there, because not all will believe in the work of the cross. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and many made intercession for the transgressors. It pleased God to bruise Christ. What does the proverb say in 21? Verse 15. It is a joy to the just to do judgment. This is the Old Testament, right? Christ hadn't come yet. The work of the cross hadn't been done. It is a joy for the just to do judgment. God is the just to do judgment. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The ones that don't believe, the ones that profane God, the ones that have their hearts hardened. Christ received the wrath of God on the cross for 3 hours on Good Friday, 2,000 years ago. He received your sins and mine. Judgment that was meant for us was appointed for him, and it pleased God to bruise him. Says that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. John 2:2. The epistle. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we sin, we have an advocate, a lawyer, one that is going to advocate for on our behalf. What is he going to advocate? This young man or this young lady is a chosen vessel of mine unto honor. They have Jesus Christ. Grace has entered their heart. Faith began. Sanctification is happening. And they will be conformed to the image of Christ. Because they believe the propitiation of their sins were put on Jesus during those 3 hours when the wrath was appeased. What do we receive? There are none that do good, no, not one. None that believe, no, not one. Unless they've been transformed, regenerated, and born from above, they do not do good. But this verse says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he's done, whether good or bad. What does God see in our body that is good? The faith that we have by the grace of God, that we believe in the work of the cross. That when Christ went to the cross, our sins were paid clear and full. We are not guilty. So we are justified before God's face. When he looks at us, he sees us as pure, holy, and blameless because of what Christ did. He took our sin nailed it to the cross, removed it from us as far as the east is from the west, and he sees us as saints. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In Philippians 3, it kind of tells us what the Christian thinks about the mind of Christ. For our conversation is in heaven. What does that mean? This earth is not our home. This life is but a vapor. Our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Bring all chosen unto himself, all elect unto himself, save all unto himself. So how do we behave? The Philippians says in 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Do we have joy in our heart? Do we delight in being Christians? Let your moderation be known unto all men. Are you self-controlled in all aspects? The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Why? Because you are bold. But in everything by prayer and supplication, the reason why you're bold is because you've prayed and you've supplicated and you're thankful. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. Because you have a prayer life and you recognize that you are thankful for having grace entered the heart, the favor of God, having faith to believe in the word, to believe in the gospel message, and being set apart from the world of flesh and the devil, you are sanctified, set apart for his kingdom, for his glory, for his honor. You are sanctified for him. The Levites used to take back in the Old Testament, they used to take the oldest son and set it apart for the priesthood. In the New Testament, we are set apart from the world of flesh and the devil to accomplish and to produce fruit in his kingdom. God will ordain this to happen. First Peter 5:10-11. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. This is a beautiful verse. But God of all grace entered the heart of the one who is lowly, broken, and contrite. He called you unto eternal glory by his Son, Jesus Christ. After that ye have suffered a while. There has to be suffering for there to be growth. He will make you perfect, pure, holy, and blameless. He will establish your faith. He will strengthen you and settle you so you're at rest in the work of the cross. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
And John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the Christian. That's the promise. Doesn't just stop there, though. That's the good news. That's been gifted to us who believe. Philippians also says other things. In the 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, John, or of Paul. What does he say? And mark them which walk so as ye have for an example. We have examples in our lives as Christians. We have fellow Christians, we have parents, grandparents, we have people that are examples to us, and they walk as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul is encouraging the Philippian church to walk according to them. But he also has a warning. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He's saying to mark them too. How do we mark them too? Do we see the fruit? The assumption is, they're a wolf until proven otherwise by the fruit. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their name, in their shame, who minds earthly things. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Some people in the church of Corinth boasted in their appearance, boasted in their knowledge, boasted in their success. This was not the boasting of the Lord. As Paul says, what not to boast in 2 Corinthians 10, 12-18. There's a warning. Paul's reason for boasting, and he gives reasons for not boasting. For we dare not make ourselves of a number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. If you're going to compare yourself to anyone, compare yourself to Jesus Christ. That will humble you. But we will not boast of things without our measure, because we are given a measure of faith and a measure of grace. But according to the measure of the rule of which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto us. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure. God will, but we don't. As though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to your, to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Does the Lord commend you? Does the Lord commend me? If you boast in the Lord, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, because he is your all in all, and you truly, truly mean it, you will be commended of the Father. You will have an enlarged heart for people, compassion for people, love for people, grace for people. Because you've been changed. So it says, so knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, made known unto God. He knows us, and we know him. Our conscience convicts us, does not condemn us, convicts us. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. Has your heart been changed? People that glory in appearance, are they believers? A changed heart glories in the Lord. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Whether we be sober, it is for our cause. Verses 14 to 17 and verses 21 are probably the most important part of this chapter. For the love of Christ constraineth us. We'll just stop there. It's not your love for God that constrains you to do good or gives you the ability to do or actually constrains you to not do evil. It's the love of Christ that does that. It's God's love for you because he loved you and he gave himself for you. And you recognize that. You will not do the wrongs that tempt you. The motivation you have to do good is because of the love of Christ for you. Because our love is fickle. We can just drive down the road and somebody cuts us off and we'll know how fickle our love is. It's his love for us that makes the change. This is here because we judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Jesus died for all. And if we look at that and it says, then we're all dead. We're all dead in trespasses and sins at one point in our life. And the Christians were quickened and made alive in newness of life. And the unbelievers were not at this point. But it's saying here, because we thus judge that if one died for all, we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live, which were quickened to newness of life, should not henceforth live unto themselves. Not glory in appearance, in success, in praise, in the respect of persons, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Have you been transformed? Have you been taken out of darkness into light? Do you recognize a change in yourself? The ability to die daily is not within you.
It's the Holy Spirit that does it and brings it forward every day, that you have to die to yourself and live in newness of life.
We are the feet, we are the hands of Christ, ambassadors. So it's talking from 14 to 17, therefore henceforth we know that no man after the we know man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. What's it saying there? Christ was 100% man. He perfectly fulfilled the law. He never sinned once on our behalf so we wouldn't have to. He did every jot and tittle of it. He's 100% flesh, and he's 100% God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you're a brother of Christ, sister of Christ, son of God, daughter of God, you're a new creature. You've been changed. You're not the same as you were. Old things are passed away. The desires of the flesh are recognized as evil. They're not propagated as okay. They're evil. They're still there, but they're evil. You recognize this because your brother died to pay for those and rose again and imputed his righteousness into you so that you are perfect, blameless, holy in the sight of God. So he sees you as a saint, loved. So you're a new creature, old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Not some things, all things become new. You don't see the things that you used to see. You don't see it the same way. Because you serve a God who loves you and died for you. So if you used to be influenced in the world in some way and you had a certain thing that you did or you enjoyed and it was sinful, you realize that you have to fight against now. Because it's not something that gives God glory. So you fight against it. You still might fall into it, but you fight against it. Before, you didn't fight against it because you didn't have the Holy Spirit. You totally encouraged it in others. And this is the battle that happens. So you're a new creature. Your desires are changed. You become new. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It tells you how you've changed and how you became new. What happened to you during that process of change? You were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I, the person, live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live, which now I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God.
I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. I am now living by his faith. He fully went to the cross. He fully died for me. He fully resurrected for me. And he fully took away all of my sin. And he fully imputed to me 33 perfect years. That's what Jesus did. I can rest in his work.
The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Where do I go with this? I now have the ministry of reconciliation.
God, by crushing his son, bruising his son, and allowing his son to receive his wrath that was meant for me,
my wrath that should have been given to me was put on him. He died, took my sin. I'm justified, now I'm reconciled to God. The blood of Christ has been applied to my heart. The heart is a new heart, it's been changed. The desires of the old heart are gone. There's the new heart's desires come to fruition. You have a heart that wants to please God. You have desires that have changed. You are part of a body of Christ, the bride. So it says, all things become new, reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world, and Christ is in us, as we are his feet and his hands. And we are doing the word of God by evangelizing and proclaiming the gospel, the good news. We are reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Why? Because you believe in the work of the cross. Is there trespasses imputed to them if they do not believe in Jesus, the Son of God? Yes. They're guilty. They will receive the wrath of God fully. But the ones that believe in the work of the cross, the imputation of the trespasses is not unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What has been imputed is imputed to us. We're imputed his righteousness. Now we are the ambassadors of Christ, for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Paul is saying, be reconciled to God. Ask God to help you. Believe in this word. Believe in the truth of the gospel. Believe in his Son. For he hath made us sin to be sin for us. Christ was sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is a very important verse. You are righteous before the Father. A saint. He is authoring and finishing your faith. He is directing your path in his kingdom. He will bring you home. He has a mansion that he's building for you there. You have a room in that mansion. He sees you as sinless because you believe in what Jesus did on Good Friday. And you believe what he did when he resurrected and imputed his holy righteousness into you. And that's what this verse is saying. This 21st verse is the essence of the gospel. It's one of the most important verses in the Word. God made Jesus Christ sin for us. And he made us saints. Do we fully understand that, embrace that, and know that? Probably not. But it's true. So where do we go from there? We are sealed until the day of redemption. What are we commanded to do? Go and preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ to every tribe, nation, and tongue. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is one elect in that place. Out of the 1,000 that are there. Maybe there's 999 heathen, but he's saying, go preach the word. Because there's one there that needs to hear the gospel, the good news.
so that one called can come to glory. And there's another one over there, and there's 10 over there, and there's 100 over there. And when the final elect, the final called of God is called and saved and sealed, Jesus will come in full glory, full assurance, and full peace. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Let's close with 115.